Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Yeah, we certainly would love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. Richard Pfeiffer is in the house, and we're just going to have a great time talking about
Indeed.
Jesus today. Always good to have you with us, Richard. And we would love to have you by phone, by email, by comment on either Facebook or YouTube. If you have a question, we would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. We're talking this month about the Jesus you can know. Christianity truly is a relationship. It's not a religion. We talk about that over and over and over and over. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means this, that God desired to have a relationship with you. He made that possible through the work of Jesus Christ. And when we respond to Him by faith, we are brought into that relationship. We can go boldly into the throne of grace, calling Him Abba, Father. So there's a family relationship. We're children of God. And we can genuinely know Jesus Christ. We can know what He's like. We can know what makes His heart tick. And in that knowledge, we're going to experience transformation in our own lives. So most of us first come to know Jesus as Savior, the fact that He died for our sins, and we know that we needed a Savior. And so we respond to Him in that way. We talked about last week the fact that He is Lord, and that's exactly who He is. And it's not that we make Him Lord of our lives. He just is.
Yeah.
And so we're dependent beings, and so He's Lord, and so we're going to entrust ourselves to Him. That's how that works out practically. You and I talked about the fact that He's omniscient, all-knowing. He knows us. He knows us inside and out. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and that's comforting. We don't have to hide from Him. We don't have to think that He's not going to like us. He knows everything about us, and yet He died for our sins, and He wants to be with us. That's good news. Today we're going to look at something out of the book of Hebrews. It says this in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1, "Long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son." So Jesus Christ is God's final word to man.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is God's good news to man. So He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. So we get some pretty cool things about Jesus. He's the heir of all things, and it was through him that the world was created. But this is the verse I really want us to pay attention to today. It says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Now, Richard, that's a mouthful. One sentence, that one verse, tells us a lot about Jesus. The fact that He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature. What in the world is the writer of Hebrews getting at this in this statement?
I think this is as close to anyone, a human being, pure human, has ever come to saying what Jesus said, which was, "I and the Father are one." We are one and the same. And even though Jesus is human, He never gave up being God. And so whatever glory God has, Jesus has. Whatever nature God has, Jesus has. He is, even in His human form, He is the radiance of the glory of God, because the glory of God would consume us, but Jesus radiates it in a way that saves us.
Yes.
And He is the exact imprint of that nature. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus.
Oh, man, that is such a powerful powerful truth. I think back to Exodus where Moses said to God, show me your glory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he revealed a little bit whatever Moses could experience at that moment in time. But fast forward, and there's this Mount of Transfiguration, yeah. and Jesus is glorified, and Moses is there, and so he gets to see the full glory of God in the face of Jesus. And that's exactly what you and I and every human gets to see. Mm-hmm. We get to see the full glory of God expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. We get to find out what God is really like in Jesus. And I think that's why this verse is so vitally important for us.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he sits down at the right hand of the majesty on high. But, and the way it's written here, it's almost a toss-off. Well, after making purification for sins. I mean, like, that was nothing. It's this other stuff that's really important. He spoke the universe into existence. He is God. He is all these things. Well, of course he's going to have dealt with sin once and for all.
That's right.
And that there's that theme, after making purification for sins, and the author never leaves that theme all the way through Hebrews.
Absolutely. This God, this one filled with glory, became flesh and dwelt mm-hmm. among us, and he did something
yes.
with our sin so that we could be brought back into relationship with God. That is such a powerful truth. That's the Jesus that you and I
yeah.
know as believers, and that's the Jesus that we here at Basic Gospel want you to know. And experience in your day-to-day life. That's why we've put together this wonderful resource this month called The Jesus You Could Know, 5 Messages. We take a look at different pictures of Jesus that the Bible paints for us in such vivid, vivid detail. And if you get to know this Jesus, if you grow in his grace and grow in the knowledge of who he is, your life will never be the same. That's where transformation takes place. You know, my dad was one of the most wonderful human beings that I think has ever lived. And as I grew, I got to know him. I got to know what he was like. Man, he was honest. Good gracious, drove me nuts. Would never do anything wrong, at least, you know, for my yeah. way of thinking. But as I got to know what was inside of him, he started rubbing off on me, and I became like him. And that's a good thing. That's a positive thing for me to be left on my own. Apart from that influence, I mean, I could have just flown off the handle. But the very fact that I grew in my knowledge of my dad changed me, and that connected me to Jesus in such a way that getting to know him, I see the transforming work just in that mm-hmm. relationship. And that's what it is for all of us who know Jesus Christ. We're transformed by that very relationship. So we want you to know this Jesus. So order your copy of The Jesus You Can Know. You can do it by calling 844-322-2742. Talk to Michelle. We'd love to get this in your hands. Or you can go to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button. This is your gift as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel, for you standing with us to help others get to know this Jesus in a very personal and real way. So it's our way of saying thank you for that. But this will be a great encouragement and a wonderful benefit in your life, something that you can listen to, something that you can share.
Yeah, there may be some of you listening out there who didn't have a father like Bob just described. You may have had the world's worst father. Trust me, Jesus can explain what his father is like in ways that will completely do away with anything you've been through. You can trust him to reveal the Father that you need to know.
Most definitely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. Just a little shout out before we take some of our questions. Today is my 29th wedding anniversary.
All right.
So get to celebrate with Gina, and we were married back in 1991. And as I was thinking about our relationship and the 29 years together, it's just the phrase above and beyond. You know, when Paul talks about the love that we can know and experience, mm-hmm. it goes above and beyond anything that we could dream or hope for. And boy, that's been my relationship with Gina, above and beyond anything that I could have imagined. Like most of us, I married
way above,
way above. She is genuine, as real a person as you will ever meet in your life. She's not phony. She doesn't play games. Her smile emanates from the heart. She's just a beautiful person through and through. And I've been blessed beyond measure being able to say that I'm her husband. So happy anniversary,
awesome.
Gina, and we'll look forward to celebrating together tonight. Well, 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. If you have a question that you would like to air on the broadcast today, go ahead and call that number right now, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, we had this interesting call and question.
Yes, I have a question in Isaiah 53, verse 6, where it's talking about the Lord has caused iniquities all to fall on him. And then down here in verse 11, it talks about how many are justified. And I just had a question about the many it's talking about. Thank you.
Well, that's a great question, isn't it, Richard? And it gets back to the nature of this gospel. How does Christ save us, and who is it that is saved? Is everybody going to be saved? There's certainly a theology known as universalism that says because of the reconciling work of Jesus, the fact that he's reconciled all people unto himself, that everybody's just going to be saved. And faith becomes just a matter of becoming aware of what's already true. Now, we totally discount and reject that.
Yes.
I don't think the Bible teaches universalism. So what is the nature of somebody that's saved? Who are the many that this particular passage is talking about? Because Paul kind of repeats that throughout his letters, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Well, all through the Bible, whether it's Old Covenant or New Covenant or whatever part you're looking at, the only thing that ever mattered to God is that someone would believe him.
Yes.
Accept him for who he is, believe him, put faith in him. And for all the work that Jesus has done and the Father has done through him, he laid all of our iniquity on Christ. Christ became sin, 2 Corinthians 5. Christ became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God through him. Well, you can't become something you will not accept. So if we haven't accepted who Jesus is and what he has done, we can't expect to see justification. We can't expect to see righteousness. We can't expect to see holiness being set apart for a work unique to us, planned by God himself. And so the whole thing hinges on us responding to God's initiative in Jesus. And if we will do that, this is ours. If we won't do that, even though it's sitting there on the table, a gift waiting to be opened, it doesn't matter.
Right. So we have to receive it.
We have to receive it.
Exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 5. It says, "And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sins, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." So who are the many? Well, those are the ones who receive the gift of God's grace and the gift of his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's out there. It's available to all. That's the grace that's been provided, and then we receive that through faith.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
Yeah. Think of the tragedy for all of those people who have not or will not accept.
Yes.
Who will not receive. With that one act of our will, we can thwart God's plan for us. That's a tragedy, because God is infinitely powerful. That's another characteristic of Jesus Christ himself. And yet he will not force us to do something we're not willing to do. And that one thing is the acceptance of Jesus Christ. Just accept him.
Yeah.
And then let the rest of life.
He is the litmus test.
He is.
He is the litmus test. Either we're going to receive him and be saved, or we're going to reject him. And for those who reject them, it's not a passive rejection. It's an active rebellion.
Yes.
It is really an active rebellion. It's that holding the fist up in the air and saying,
yeah, I'll be my own God.
Yeah, I'll be my own God. And God says, okay.
Yeah, good luck.
Have at it. So the many who will be made righteous are those who receive the gift of God's grace. Well, let's go to this question that we have from Lynn in Payette, Idaho.
Yeah, hi. This is Lynn from Payette, Idaho. Jeannie, my wife, and I are finally home from our trip, and we enjoyed so much stopping there and seeing your studio and getting acquainted with you and your staff. I encourage the men from our Bible study to tune into your program, so I hope they're listening when I ask this question. But I would like to make a comment, if you could. At times, I listen to the other radio programs and TV programs, and there seems to be so much teaching from the Old Testament. I know there are many good lessons we can learn from the Old Testament, but it seems to me we need more of teaching from the New Testament today for people who don't know the gospel. Could you comment on this? I'd really appreciate it if you could. Thanks. God bless.
Well, thank you, Lynn, and we did so enjoy you and your wife when you came by and visited us and joined our Wednesday noontime Bible study, and then we had lunch together, and it was a great thrill to visit with you. But I think Lynn is asking one of the most important questions that can be asked about the Bible and how we're to study the Bible. And the fact of the matter is this, Richard, you and I live in a new covenant, and
yes,
every believer that has come to know Jesus Christ by grace through faith lives in this new covenant as well. And this new covenant went into effect the day Jesus died. So he put an end to the old. He fulfilled that in every way possible or imaginable. And then he ushered in a new covenant, and it's in this new covenant that we live. And we're going to find out about this new covenant. We're going to find out about this grace of God in the New Testament, in the writings of Paul, in the writings of John, in the writings of Peter. So if we're going to experience the fullness of life that Christ gave us when we came to know him, we're going to get the full explanation. It's the reality. It's kind of like the real thing versus the catalog. So the Old Testament is kind of the catalog. We get to see pictures, but the
shadows.
But the real thing is talked about in the New Covenant, isn't it?
Yes. And yet, as soon as you go to the New Covenant and allow the Spirit to explain all of who Jesus is, the Old Testament comes alive for the first time. Now, prior to knowing who Jesus is and living in the new covenant, we hear phrases like, oh, man, they went all Old Testament on me. And that's because all you see is judgment and condemnation and people failing miserably. And, you know, how could that God be living? Well, the other thing the Old Testament does is predict over and over and over again that this Messiah is coming.
Yes.
So let's learn about the Messiah who came, and let that change our lives, and then use that new knowledge, spirit-led knowledge, to explain what's going on in the Old Testament. It comes alive in a brand new way.
It does, because once you have met the Savior, and once you have recognized that he died for your sins, that he was raised, and that you have been made alive together with him, everywhere you look in the Bible, you see that it is really God's story about Jesus from beginning to end. And then it becomes this beautiful picture, and you recognize, hey, I'm a part of this grand story, this grand narrative of life that's been told by God, authored by God. I'm now a part of it through faith in Jesus Christ. And it really, just gives you this sense of awe and this gratefulness that just moves you through every part of your day.
Yes.
So, Lynn, hope that helps. Thank you again. One other point about that, if you're looking to the Word of God to find out what you need to do, there's going to be a veil that covers your heart.
Absolutely.
You're going to be dull in your thinking, and it's just not going to make sense. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, whenever Moses is read today, a veil still remains.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that veil is only removed in Christ Jesus. So that's why it's so important to understand that this is a story about Jesus. That's why you really need to spend more of your time in the New Testament and really get to know this Jesus, and then that will be the key to understanding the old. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher with Richard Pfeiffer today. We're going to go to Maryland and talk to Elijah. Hi, Elijah. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Good. Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, I just want to know what's John on 5:24, when it said, my word had believed in him who sent me and everlasting life, should not come judgment and have passed from death into life. I wonder what that means.
Well, Elijah, here's what that means. You and I come into this world dead spiritually. As Paul said, we're dead in trespasses and sins, and the solution to that is life. Well, Jesus is the only one that has life, and so when we believe him, we receive that life. We cross over from death to life. And the judgment that's going to happen at the end is simply this. Are you dead in sin, or are you alive in Christ? So when you cross over from death to life through faith in Jesus Christ, that condemnation of death is lifted off of you, and you'll never experience judgment from God ever, other than the fact that he's going to say, hey, you're alive in Christ, you're going to be with me forever.
Okay, that's what I need to know. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Elijah. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Well, let's go to one of our YouTube caller or listeners or viewers. He wants to know does 2 Timothy 1:14 mean? What is the treasure of the gospel, the salvation, the gift of our faith? What in the world does that 2 Timothy 1:14 mean? And I think Paul is saying to guard what's been entrusted to you.
Yeah.
So this is a pastoral letter from Paul to Timothy. And Timothy was a young person, and yet he was filling some pretty lofty positions as elder and pastor at Ephesus.
And he was catching it in the neck.
Yes,
from,
he was.
From
yes,
people
he was.
Who were fighting him.
So what is this treasure?
Oh, it's what you just talked about. I mean, we have life eternal in Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We have righteousness and peace and love and joy and self-control in Jesus Christ. That's the treasure of the gospel, and it needs to be protected at all costs,
right?
Because we will forget it in a heartbeat if we take our eyes off of Jesus.
Absolutely. So by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, guard the good deposit entrusted to you, or guard that treasure that's been entrusted to you. You have the gospel. You've been saved by the gospel, and you have the privilege to share that gospel. And so guard that. That's the treasure. Mm-hmm. That's your treasure, and when you share it with others, that becomes their treasure as well. And it's a powerful, powerful reality. It all gets back to this Jesus.
Yes.
He's the one. He is the gospel. He is the good news. He is God's word to man, God's good news to man, and it's a privilege for us every day to be able to share the good news about Jesus and to get to know this Jesus, and we want you to get to know him as well. That's why we've produced this wonderful series, The Jesus You Can Know. We want to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift. This month, The Basic Gospel, all the information on how you can do that is available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. www.BasicGospel.net. Just click the big banner on the front page and follow all the instructions. Well, now for Richard Pfeiffer and the entire team, so long from Lewisville, Texas.